We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, beat reporter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
OnlyFans.
Oh, you got it. Okay, repeat the line because you weren't on there for a moment.
You forgot Nick Wilson does on OnlyFans.
I mean, I'll use that handle.
Yours, my man. If that is my one contribution to your life, you are so very welcome.
That's all right. Earlier today, I was talking with Jason Pinkston, and I was talking about how I just want the Browns to be consistently good, and I used the phrase, I just can't wait to swim in golden waters. And the flood of tweets asking me if that was going to be on my OnlyFans. Duke, don't dance with pineapple. That's what I'm going to say to everybody out there.
You dove right into that one, didn't you?
Head first, as always. Thus the brain damage. I can ask you this question because you're not just the Browns beat reporter. You also cover the Cavs, Forest, and Guardians. As of right now, after 6 games with Deshaun Watson and 41 games of Donovan Mitchell, which trade has a higher bar to be declared a success, the Mitchell trade or the Watson trade?
Oh, without question, it's the Watson trade. Like, if he can't get the Browns, I don't want to say to the Super Bowl because that's tough and they've never been, but if he can't get them in contention to get to a Super Bowl, then that trade's not a success. I'm sorry. Donovan Mitchell's already an all-star starter for the Eastern Conference in his first year here. He's the first Cav to do that since LeBron in 2018. He's only the fourth or fifth Cavalier to do that in franchise history. So, I mean, that trade's already been a success and paying dividends. But, yeah, I think that the bar, especially because of the baggage that Watson comes with, the contract, which has reset a lot of thinking from some players around the NFL, I really think the bar of success is extremely high for Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
All right, so I think a lot of people tend to agree with you on this, and it's less that I don't agree with you; it's more that I'll be honest, I've talked myself into both scenarios.
Like, if the Cavaliers don't get back to the NBA Finals with Donovan Mitchell, I'm not going to consider that trade a failure.
Well, but like, I actually had the hypothetical, because I like to think 5 years into the future. 5 years into the future, Donovan Donovan and Deshaun are both on their way out, and both the Cavs and the Browns' resumes are identical. Right, so one conference title appearance and 5 straight playoff games, or 5 straight playoff appearances. Which trade is viewed as the more successful trade?
Mitchell.
Why?
Because again, I think the bar is much higher for Watson. I don't think that the playing field there is even. I hate to say it, but I almost feel like with Deshaun Watson, it's Super Bowl or bust for him. Because he is supposed to be the best quarterback this franchise has had since Otto Graham.
Okay, in fairness, I don't want to say it's a low bar, but like...
Well, but it's the bar. The bar is the bar, right? I mean, Baker Mayfield was the best quarterback since 1999. The bar was just that low, right? Mm-hmm. But the bar is the bar, and he needs to be the best quarterback that this franchise has had since Otto Graham, plain and simple. Donovan Mitchell does not need to be LeBron James for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that's the big that's the differentiating factor for me, Nick. I feel like everything involved with that trade that the Browns made last March, this guy better come in here and just absolutely, play like someone we haven't seen here in generations. I really feel that way.
So Mary Kay earlier this week made a comment that the guys react, and I keep referencing the guys' reaction to it. It's more that the Twitter response was almost to ridicule what I thought was a fairly accurate, and in some ways, I don't think it was a hot take. I think it's reality. And she had said that the Browns believe they already have their Joe Burrow, which is Deshaun Watson.
I think that's fair.
And so after those six games, because I feel like people are massively overreacting to the final six games of the year. I think he got better as the time went on. And I'll be honest with you. I think the Browns failed Deshaun more than Deshaun failed the Browns. But that's for another day. It's,
right.
Okay. I'm asking you the question here. I don't know why I'm giving you my takes before I set you up for a question. When you look at Deshaun Watson, I gave you so much of a take that I forgot what my question was going to be.
Something related to something that Mary Kay Cabot said about the Browns believing they already have their Joe Burrow.
So,
how about that?
This is
I'll reset your own question for you. Now you
me.
Take it from there.
And now I ask you the question I intended. How shaken are you from the idea that he can be that for them over the next 4 to 5 years?
Can he? Absolutely. That's why they did what they did. Right? I mean, that's why they gave up six draft picks, including three first-rounders. That's why they gave him a fully guaranteed $230 million contract that really upset 31 other NFL owners around the league, right? Because they believe in the talent and the ability to do that. Now, it's incumbent upon the organization to put him in positions to realize that potential. And again, this has been my criticism of Kevin Stefanski. As much as I like him personally and as much as I respect his football acumen professionally, I just don't feel like he has done a good job the last 2 years leading this team and maximizing the talent with which he has to work with. There's been a lot of built-in excuses for why they've underachieved these last two seasons. So now it gets real in 2023, and it's incumbent upon Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff to put Deshaun Watson in positions to realize that potential. The Browns' history being what it is, do I have confidence that that's going to happen? I'm leaning more towards no than I am yes, but I have to be fair about it and give them the honest, clean slate and opportunity here to actually get that done before trying to, you know, shape public opinion on that. So it's there. I think we saw glimpses of it in those six games. His escapability, the ability to extend plays. We saw a couple of vertical plays down the field. Certainly want to see more of that. But it's there. The talent is there. It's, combination. Deshaun got to continue getting the rust knocked off this offseason, coming ready to hit the ground running. And then again, Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff putting Watson in a position to be successful. And then obviously it falls on Deshaun to go out there and live up to that potential.
Daryl, if the Browns were to make a splash move this offseason, and let's keep it to one move, meaning it's between wide receiver or defensive tackle or defensive end, and they'll still address those other positions, but one specific need gets a splash move. What type or what area do you want to see that splash move in?
Defensive tackle. Because receiver, you can get value, okay? And I say that understanding that they traded a 5 to get Amari Cooper, who in spite of the injury he played the final quarter of the season with there, he was not a disappointment. He lived up to expectation, right? And I believe that you can fill your receiver need without having to make the quote-unquote big splash. You can get value there. The front seven right now, quite frankly, is not good enough. And that, I think, is where the splash needs to be made. And the splash has to have substance. It can't just be, there's got to be substance behind that move. And we've seen with Andrew Berry, when he does make the splash moves, there is substance behind them, but that's where it needs to be. It needs to be in the front seven, preferably on that defensive line.
Daryl, another thought that has come up this week is the idea that Lima says he's jealous of the Bengals.
He should be.
But that's not the number one team I'm jealous of, because their success is still relatively shortcoming, right?
They have achieved more in the last 2 years than the Cleveland Browns have achieved in 40, but go on.
Well, no, fair. I'm not trying to discredit their success. What I'm saying is give me Kansas City, because Kansas City's done it.
Yeah, because they got the trophy in the case.
No, not just that. It started in 2013. I mean, I think it's twice they've missed the playoffs since 2013, and over the last 5 years, they've been in the AFC title
it's
game
sustained.
More often than not.
I understand what you're saying. They got a trophy in the case, and they have sustained the success, whereas the Bengals, it's just back-to-back years for them.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, Nick, as long as Joe Burrow's there, I think that they're – and he's healthy, right? I think that this is not a fluke. I do believe that the Bengals have ascended now to the team to beat within the division. They are now the top dog, the big cat, whatever you want to say. They're the new team to beat. They're the team that the other three teams, including the Browns, are now chasing.
I would agree with that. I still want to be Kansas City. That being said,
and look, they suffered, right? I mean, because they almost fired Zach Taylor, right? He won 6 games in 2 years. They're losing their mind in Cincinnati. They're worried. 5 straight sub 500 seasons. If this thing's ever going to get on track, Joe Burrow is under siege and whatnot. And they've gone on to win 22 games in the last 2 years. They have done right in that 2 year stretch where, like, you compare it to the Browns. The Browns only won 1 game. Somehow the Bengals managed to win 6 in their teardown rebuild. And on top of that, quick turnaround, like almost immediately, year 3, similar to the Browns, year 3 in the playoffs, and advanced in the playoffs. They got to a Super Bowl. The Browns weren't able to get to the conference championship game with Patrick Mahomes on the sideline with an injury. But then they have followed that up with a better season. Right, they won 2 more games this year than they did the year they went to the Super Bowl, and that's even with Nick them start. I think they started 0-2 or 0-3, and like everyone was bailing on them. Oh, the Bengals are cooked. They were a one-hit wonder, whatever. And their last loss was to the Browns on Halloween. So I think the Bengals are set up for long-term sustained success. And as I said, they're the team everybody's chasing in the AFC North now.
You're welcome, Cincinnati. So by the way, the other thing I'm actually as equally jealous about is their front four defensively. Just because everybody talks about Joe Burrow,
right?
Hubbard, Hendrickson, and DJ Reader. I'd said this earlier. If you put just Reader and Hubbard, and Hubbard's like a clear number two edge rusher right now. Hendrickson's like the lead dog. You put just those guys on this team, and the Browns are a probably 10-win team this year. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with that, because they're not they certainly wouldn't get chewed up on the ground and spit out the way they were this past season. I forget their numbers. Like, I don't know, 13 of the 17 games they got gashed for over 100 yards on the ground. And really, it started with the Atlanta game, that third quarter drive where the Falcons just ran it 12 straight times down the field, and the Browns were helpless to stop them. And, the Chargers came to town, terrible running game. All of a sudden, they find a run game against the Browns, and that just really laid the blueprint for everybody. Hey, if you want to beat up the Cleveland Browns this year, all you got to do is turn and hand it off to your running back, and you'll have yards and points aplenty coming your way. And ultimately, that's one of the key contributing factors as to why this season went south.
Daryl, looking to the Cavaliers, and there's a few ways I want to go here. When you look at where they are versus where you thought they'd be, are the Cavs through, I think it's 50 games, I could be wrong on that, 48 games, are they ahead of, behind, or right on schedule for where you thought they'd be at this point in the season?
Well, I mean, they started 8-0, and I was throwing out, hey, man, set your June aside, don't make any plans, you might need to be in downtown Cleveland then, and I don't think that's going to happen now. I think that's now unrealistic. They've really come back to earth since then. They're right where they were a year ago. At 30-20 through 50. And so I'm not going to sit here and say they've been a disappointment. I will say, though, there have been some games that have gotten away from them that they were in position to win and they just quite frankly didn't get it done. This is going to be, I think, an important couple of months here for J.B. Bickerstaff and this young Cavalier team, because they need to take that next step, and that is closing out some of these games that we've seen them lose. The talent is there. I don't know, Nick, that there's like a magic trade coming up here at the trade deadline that's going to improve them beyond the current roster and what they have. The bench consistency worries me a little bit there, but I think they're meeting expectations, but they're not surprising anyone. They're not catching anyone off guard. And it's going to be an interesting couple of months here to see what they're able to achieve, because I really think top four team and advance one round in the playoffs, I think those are reasonable goals that are very much attainable for this team.
So let's say they get to the playoffs, whether it's the play-in or a seven-game series, and they
got to go seven-game series. The play-in's not good enough for me. They got to get to the seven-game.
I would agree, but let's say they get to a seven-game series but lose. What's the culprit? Why would they lose?
Well, I would say the culprit would be late game execution. Just without having any context of who they're playing and whatever, you're just asking a generic questionnaire. I would say that if they don't advance, it's going to come down to late game situations and not getting it done in crunch time.
I would agree. But it's funny because I think 50% of my doubt is on JB. And 50% of my doubt is on whether Evan Mobley and Darius Garland are ready to help them achieve that.
Well, I mean, JB is kind of in the same spot that the team itself is in, right? They're both unproven in these in that environment, right? In a playoff contending environment, they're still unproven. What they did last year was great. They came out of nowhere. They were able to get to the play-in. Unfortunately, weren't able to advance. But now you look to take that next step this year, get yourself into the playoffs. And I think that that's where we start answering the questions. Because I'm not going to lie, there have been instances where I do sit there and say, because I want to be clear, J.B. Bickerstaff absolutely earned the opportunity he has, right, to coach this team and try and get them to that next level. He has absolutely earned that right. But it is in the back of my mind where I ask, okay, yes, he's earned that right, but is he the guy that's going to have them be successful in those moments? I do ask that question at times, and give them a fair opportunity to answer it.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting that some people think that because he earned the right to do that, that right is somehow infinite. Time is not infinite in the NBA. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the conference title round and a little Cavs-Thunder action tonight, bud.
I got Chiefs and Eagles. The Kelce Bowl. That's what I'm rooting for.
All right, buddy.
For the Super Bowl. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Championship Sunday.
You too, buddy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.